Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I forgot how good a guest Christopher Hine is because we get the Carole King walk-up music.
That's his person. That's his person.
Carole Klein, nice Jewish girl. How's by you, blah, blah, blah. Maidela, come over here.
Went to
sing a platinum song for me.
Went to junior high with Paul Simon, right, Chris?
That's right. Yeah, they were, I think, classmates, and they sang demos for each other back in the day. Yep.
That's some talent contest you're trying to win. That would be awful for the kid playing the kazoo.
Paul Simon is the musical guest on Saturday Night Live tonight, as well as everything ties in together.
I'm tired of him.
And Carole King, her album Tapestry, is on the wall of Lady Gaga's character above her bed in A Star Is Born, which I bet Chris Hine knew.
I did. I saw that movie last weekend. I it was everything I could to control myself from yelling in the theater when I saw that. I was not expecting that to happen. Great.
The reason we're talking with Christopher Hine, formerly of my Chicago Tribune, now of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, you heard coming in, Rachel Nichols interviewing Jimmy Butler, the biggest fraud going in the NBA, which is really saying something. And given his friendship with Mark Wahlberg of Entourage fame, I think we need to call him Jimmy Drama, because he's a bad actor. It makes no sense. From down here, it looks like he just showed up to be a first-team hypocrite and make himself the worst kind of teammate. What is it like up there covering this, Chris?
It's the most chaotic thing I think I've ever covered. And I covered the Patrick Kane sexual assault investigation when he was on the Blackhawks. This thing, you know, it's taken so many odd twists and odd turns, and he's sending out so many mixed messages, and I don't know what, at his core, I don't know what his reasoning is for wanting out. I don't know if it's about money. I don't know if it's about Towns or Wiggins. It seems like every day his story changes when it comes to this, that he can't coexist with Cat and Wiggins, and then you hear that he can't, and then you hear him say it's not about the money, and then you hear that he's upset because they didn't renegotiate his deal over the summer. So there's just a lot of confusion, a lot of chaos, and I feel bad almost for Timberwolves fans up here who have been tortured for much of the last two decades. It's like they thought they finally had something when he came here last year, that they were on the right path in an ascending franchise, and now the rug is being pulled out from under them.
That's well said, because it and really any kind of small Midwestern team these days in the NBA, this is how you get a star, is you find a disgruntled star somewhere and you arrange a trade for him and you hope to woo him and have him stay. And here it is getting so incredibly ugly so fast. Yeah, no, it's about them wanting me. That's what it's about. Oh, no, wait, it's about the money. No, it's about me leading them. That's
not about the money, but $110 million isn't enough.
Does he really believe that this is leadership? Like what he said, does he really think this is what a leader is supposed to do?
I think he does, and I think he's in the Thibodeau mold in that sense, where he is like Thibodeau on the court. He is hard driving and is ultra competitive, but I don't know that he necessarily has the cachet to pull that off in the NBA. Like it's one thing to be like a Michael Jordan and, you know, be the undisputed best player in the league and be this way, or a Kobe Bryant and be this way, because you can see the results of winning. But Jimmy hasn't really done that in his career so far. He hasn't earned the stripes in that sense. So he is very well liked within that locker room. You know, there's a lot of teammates there that still like him, that call him a friend, and they hope that this works out, including, you know, guys like Taj Gibson and Jeff Teague. But I just don't know where this is going to end up. You know, every day you think it's headed one way and then it zags and goes another way.
How likely is Tom Thibodeau to get fired over this?
I don't think he's going to get fired over this. Now, if this plays out and they don't make the playoffs at the end of the season, I think that's a different conversation. And I think then the possibility arises. And this is exactly why Thibodeau doesn't want to trade Butler, because in a sense he is coaching for his job, and why he's being stubborn in not really pushing for a deal, or at least, you know, not willingly going out there and trying to actively court a deal, because he is kind of coaching for his job. Glenn Taylor, you know, had some interesting comments towards the end of last season, and you almost got the sense that if the Wolves didn't make the playoffs last year, that Thibodeau's job might have been in trouble. So there's a lot of balls in there. I don't think it's going to happen now, but if this plays out and the Wolves don't make the playoffs next year and they just look dysfunctional, I could see a change potentially happening.
Word around the league is that Glenn Taylor might have to be the one who intercedes and gets a deal done, because Tom Thibodeau, to your point, is asking for the moon. There was this story that just came out of Miami. Jorge Sedano of ESPN had the story that Thibodeau and Pat Riley had agreed on a trade for Butler. Josh Richardson.
Now watch it, potty mouth.
I will. Josh Richardson.
Don't make me dump you.
And Dion Waiters and a protected first-round pick. Those pieces going back to Miami. And yep. They had exchanged medicals, which means that the deal is basically done. And then Thibodeau calls back and asks for more draft picks. And Pat Riley, according to Sedano, called him a mother bleeper and hung up the phone on Tom Thibodeau. And at that point, this is when people expect the owner, Glenn Taylor, to step in and say, all right, fine, we'll make the deal. Don't worry about Thibs. And is there a chance that happens?
If it hasn't happened, it's been a week since that happened. Riley came out and denied that, by the way.
Okay.
Late last night, for the record. But
I missed the denial.
If it hasn't happened within the last week, I don't know that Taylor is going to step in a situation like that. And I guess that speaks to Thibodeau's unwillingness to make a deal here. Here you think you're at the finish line, and then all of a sudden here come these last minute demands. I think Glenn Taylor wants Jimmy dealt. This is what I've reported and what others have reported. Glenn Taylor wants Jimmy dealt. He wants to honor the trade request, but he is leaving the handling of the negotiations up to Thibodeau and Layden. Now, you could say that that's, you know, kind of two people tugging at the same rope on opposite ends here, and they're getting nowhere. So in that sense, it's hard to see where this is headed and if at some point Taylor is going to have to intervene a little stronger. But even though he has told Thibodeau and Layden he wants Butler gone, he has left the negotiations up to Thibodeau and Layden. That's why Jimmy Butler is still a Timberwolf a couple days before the regular season.
Talking with Christopher Hine, Minneapolis Star Tribune, used to be the Chicago Tribune. He only works for Tribune, so the Salt Lake City Tribune will be next, apparently.
Maybe the Players Tribune later.
Yeah, there you go. So the idea that Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau are making Gar Forman look smart, being part of a smart deal, got out, got rid of a guy who was going to be a troublemaker. Do you know how hard that is to do? Do people in Minnesota realize how hard it is to make Gar Forman part of the winning end of a deal? Because clearly the Bulls have won this thing.
I would agree with you there. And the thing with the Minnesota view of this is I don't think people are necessarily lamenting the loss of Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine in all this. I think they are lamenting the fact that Lauri Markkanen was the piece that ultimately got away in this deal. But you're right. This is, you know, it's basically a race to the bottom in that sense, where it's like who's got more egg on their face at the end of this whole process. And the Bulls actually, in hindsight now, look like the smart team in this deal. They really do. They got Butler out of there. They got, you know, as much as they could for him. And now I'm not sure what the Wolves will end up with at the end of this, if it's going to be pieces that they can build around going forward with Towns and Wiggins. It's just a mess right now.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll have you on more often, because I love the the Carole King walk-up music. I'm a big fan of that. Maybe Pleasant Valley Sunday. Maybe Mickey Dolenz will be in studio. Is he still alive?
Yes, he is.
He is. There's only two of them.
You picked the right monkey. Mickey,
there's only two of the four monkeys, right? Or
it's funny.
Davy Jones
Dolenz
is dead.
Peter Tork's alive. I think they're three out of four.
Tork, Dolenz, Nesmith. Michael Nesmith.
Nesmith's alive.
Is he still dangling Don Kirshner out of the Capitol Records building? That's a great story. Yeah.
By the way, Mickey Dolenz did a Carole King tribute album about 6-7 years ago, so you can go look that up. Mickey Dolenz doing all Carole King covers.
No, boy. I'd rather hear Carole King doing all. I don't want to hear it.
just another big sports station talking about Mickey Dolenz and Carole King.
Just another unpleasant Valley moment. Thanks, Chris. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris Hines, Minneapolis Star Tribune, talking to Jimmy Butler.
It's the NBA, where narcissistic, unconscionably selfish behavior is celebrated and rewarded.
So Tuxer made a good point that Jimmy wasn't like this until he teamed up with Dwayne Wade, fellow Marquette player, that he got worse. I attribute this Hollywood act being Mark Wahlberg.
No.
Where do you think this grows?
No, I think this has been in Jimmy. I think this has been in Jimmy all along.
Your guy Joakim Noah noted this. Do you remember that quote? He said, Jimmy's really feeling himself these days.
Mm-hmm.
Near the end of that thing.
Back in the day.
And then, meanwhile, when it was Jimmy had a chance to win a series or save game six against Cleveland, he couldn't make a basket.
He
tried to take over, and I was like, this is a joke.
This is one of the worst players. The seeds of this were evident in the Jimmy versus Derek, whose team is this stuff. And the seeds of this were obvious when Jimmy sided with Garpax over Tom Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. As that thing fell apart. And Tom Thibodeau, who helped build Jimmy into this and had Jimmy's back like nobody ever had, got stepped on as Jimmy got in good with Garpax. And then here came Fred, and he picked sides there. After having picked sides with the Derek thing, Jimmy is all about Jimmy. And a lot of these guys are, and they can get away with it. Whether you're a top five player or not, you can behave like one in the NBA and get away with it.
You can't pull a Kobe the way Jimmy did unless you have Kobe's five rings. That's it.
Jimmy doesn't even have a final experience. But you can. He's pulling it, and he's going to get away with it. He's going to get his wish. He's going to get dealt to either Miami or the Clippers.
I hope he gets traded to... I would love to see him get traded to Buffalo, even though they have no team. All right, Rosenblum and Spiegel, we suck so you don't have to. Coming up, one of my favorite people ever to have dealt with, Darren Pang, will be here. We'll talk Hawks and Blues. Second half of the hour, Jonathan Taves, the interview he did on the station. We suck so you don't have to. The show's getting a lot better as we get near the end. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You'd almost think Darren Pang was a sports writer the way we're playing Springsteen in the run-up to him. Panger, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, fellas. That's a great way to open up a segment right there with a little Thunder Road by the great Bruce Springsteen.
That's it. Every sports writer is a card-carrying member of Team Springsteen. Coming in, we heard Jonathan Taves talk about Corey Crawford. We will hear the full Taves interview in the second half of this. And one of my favorite people in all of sports joins us now, Darren Pang, Fox Sports Midwest, the NHL Network. He's on Twitter at Panger40. And I was explaining to my partner, Matt Spiegel, that you were branding elections for postseason awards long before it became fashionable with the shirt. Pang, easier to spell than Neuendijk. Didn't do you any good,
right.
But I really think the effort was there. You should get credit for that, Panger.
That was the genius of the great Lisa Seltzer, our producer back then. And she came up with that idea, and we ended up, actually, we ended up selling those T-shirts and gave it money away for charity, and it was a good idea. I think back now as a 23-year-old rookie in the NHL, and I wonder now what my the veteran players thought of that type of thing. But at the time, it seemed right, it seemed fun. Neuendijk was easily going to win it. We were making a mockery of it, to be quite honest with you. He was that good. He was scored over 50 goals. But at the end of the day, maybe that helped me get to the awards banquet, and I got to hang around with these great players that won awards that year, and Joe to this day remains a really good friend. So it was pretty neat.
Reminds maybe not quite as selfish as Theismann, which rhymes with Heisman. Dude, he changed his name to rhyme with the award. Darren, just ain't right.
Yeah, see that's a different type of solicitation. Mine was definitely for fun and self. deprecating humor, and on the other side, I don't think Joe's was.
So we were talking, we heard Jonathan Toews coming in. The Hawks and Blues play tonight. The evil, dreaded Blues are in town, and the bloody rivalry continues, and we're waiting to see Corey Crawford return from a concussion. They're a lot higher on him. They believe he's a lot closer. I just didn't even think we'd see him again. What does it mean? What goaltenders you've talked to, I don't know if you've had a concussion, how do you get back on the ice after something or several things like that?
Yeah, I mean, his is obviously far more complicated than I thought it was going to end up being. Did I return to the ice after having a concussion? Yeah, absolutely. I got split open for about maybe 15 stitches playing junior hockey, and a game and a half later, I ended up being right in the net. And I remember thinking the first high, hard one that came towards my head, I was extremely sharp with my hands because I was afraid that it was going to hit me in the head, and that feeling of that puck going through my mask the first time, I didn't want to experience that again. It's not fun. Balance is everything when you're a goaltender, or in life, balance is everything. But if you're a goaltender and you're facing a shot and you have to prepare for a rebound, move side to side, your balance has to be impeccable. When you're off kilter, then you can't do it. And the other part about a concussion is concentration. You're just not as focused. And if you're in the net and you're not as focused, well, you're not going to have success. So I did watch Corey quite closely today. And actually Troy Murray and I were talking about it, and Troy tried to throw a little bait on the hook for me. He looked at me and said, "Oh boy, it's going to be good to see Crawford playing tonight." And I kind of looked at him like, "He's not playing tonight, is he?" And he tried to get me going a little bit, but he looked very, very sharp. In fact, a week ago, I watched him in the morning skate in St. Louis, and I thought all the drills.
Darren, we got you. Think we might have lost him.
I think his cell phone had a concussion.
Okay, well, we can try him back. I can't imagine, Steve, the way that he's talking about it, that you add that to the mindset. Like, if you were not already impressed with the athleticism and the bravery of certain athletes to just go out there and subject themselves to the danger and the physical harm of some of these contact sports, or a goalie to get in there and just stand strong against, you know, guys right there in front of him in the crease, mm-hmm. and the pucks flying at you and you don't know where, and all the dangerous potential. If you were not already, then add this idea that, oh, by the way, you could get a concussion or another concussion, and it could lead towards the kind of brain injury that damages the rest of your life. It is.
And you just know that everybody's going to buzz the tower. Other player.
It's what we expect of these guys, to be as brave and as comfortable as they've always been their whole life in the face of potentially having the rest of their lives damaged by yet another concussion. It's kind of amazing that we expect athletes to be that consistently on point, isn't it, Darren?
Well, it is, Matt. I think that of all the positions, it's the puck you're facing, and you are right about players buzzing the tower. I mean, Matt Murray's had three concussions playing for the Pittsburgh Penguins. When he returns, someone's going to fire it high and hard at him. That's just the way this game is. In the old days when goalies were getting a little bit timid, the curves of the stick were coming on, the pucks were going higher, the masks weren't very good. I mean, how many times you see Bobby Hull fire a couple of them real high and then fire a couple of them real low just to see where the goaltender was at? I mean, this is the part where it's no fun. But in saying all that, I'm sure that Corey's got the same mentality I'm going to repeat right here. If you're going to go in and you're going to put the pads on and you're going to return, you're going to return full bore. So when he's ready to play, it's going to be 1,000,000% that he's back and ready to play. And if by chance something happens to him again, you have to leave that to fate. But you certainly can't play at this level timid. You can't play at this level. You can maybe play less than 80%, but you can't play it at 40% and not all in. So when he returns, and as I watched him today, I mean, he did look very, very close. Listen to that interview with Jonathan Toews. I believe what Jonathan Toews says right there, because he's the one that's on the ice with him. They're the ones shooting at him. I thought he looked terrific this morning, as an example.
We're talking with Darren Pang, Fox Sports Midwest, Blues and Hawks tonight at the United Center. One of the things interesting, Corey Crawford's trying to come back in an era where the second phase of smaller goalie equipment is being experienced. This is the better, tighter wrapped chest pads. The leg pads took a shaving last year. Goals are up. I believe there's a correlation there. We might be headed back. Do you think we go back 22 years where Mario led the league with 161 points and 69 goals? Do you think we're headed back to that? What do you attribute the raise in scoring to?
A combination of things. I think early in the season, I think it's hard to play defense. You know, the systems are being sold by the coaches, but the players have to stop and start. They have to block shots. They have to put their bodies on the line early on. And I don't think that if you look at most games around the NHL, that the players are quite convinced that they're going to play that way right now. And that's why scoring's up for me. I do believe that lazy penalties have created a lot of power play goals as well. On the other side of it, I do believe the goaltenders are having some adjustments with their shoulder pads and the way that the waist is fitting for them. I think there are some goals that are going in, that are going through arms and just finding their way through. The advancements that they finally have made with the pants last year and now the shoulder pads, a little more streamlined, not as broad in the shoulders. I think that's helped goal scoring. I think the goal scorers can see a little bit more net. I think they're a little bit more confident. But in saying all that, I think once we get to January, February, March, I think we're going to see it tightened up again, because that's when the players start really tuning in, and that's when the defensive part of the game really comes to the forefront for me, especially with the good teams.
Darren Pang right here on The Score. Steve Rosenblum is him. I'm Matt Spiegel. And I got to tell you, I found this fascinating. What Scott Powers of The Athletic had reported about Jonathan Toews' offseason, working with a local skills analyst named Brian Keane, and some of the things that they worked on, because Toews has been a hot topic, obviously, for a couple of years. The production's been way down. But he says that with Toews, they worked on some skating deception, little changes of speed and reading when to skate or throw in a little bit of deception while someone is on you to create separation, using your eyes to take advantage, whether you're within pass deception, trying to be one step ahead of guys, not telegraph what he's intending to do. It's interesting because Toews is always so concerted and working so hard and very direct at what he's doing. But this idea of trying to gain a little deception and buy himself a little more space on chances, I think is kind of fascinating. And I can't help but feel like I'm seeing it in his much more productive start this year.
Yeah, Jonathan Toews is back. This is fun to watch now. I would be like everybody else watching the NHL. And if you're a Hawk fan, you're watching Jonathan Toews last year and a half, and you're saying, what's going on and where is he heading? Is this the decline of a great player? Has he played so much hockey that he's just flat out of gas? Has he changed his diet to the point where he doesn't have the strength to out battle players? There's a lot of questions, and he's answered them all. I like those points. I read that article, the skating deception and the creating separation. Very interesting. At the end of practice today, he was doing a lot of one-on-ones, and there was just a lot of kind of jitterbug, you know, deking, kind of faking one way, going another way. And he just looks explosive. He looks quick. He looks light on his skates, but he looks quick on his skates. And he just looks like he's not going to lose a battle, whereas last year it looked like he wasn't going to win a battle. So our league's a better league when Jonathan Toews is the kind of player that he is, because he's so revered and so respected. So whatever he did in the offseason, he did it right. And he's ready for an unbelievable season.
Before I let you go, Panger, Blues, there's some talent there. I always thought Jake Allen was like Greg Millen, just good enough to get your heart broken. What are legitimate expectations for the evil, dreaded Blues?
You know what, Steve, competing for a Stanley Cup again, getting back to where they were a couple of years ago when they went to the conference final, and it looked like they were a team trending north, and last year was a step back. But, you know, when you look at the team, I mean, Doug Armstrong put together a center ice position of Ryan O'Reilly, Braden Schenn, who had 70 points last year, Tyler Bozak, who's been a 50-point guy and a right-hand shot, good on the dots, and then a young 19-year-old in Robert Thomas, a first-round pick. So I think he's got way more depth in scoring, Steve. I think they lacked it when Jaden Schwartz, who will not play tonight, but when he was hurt last year, the whole team went south offensively, and now you've got Patrick Maroon is here, kind of a net front guy, and he's a guy that grew up with the St. Louis Blues, living in St. Louis, and he talks a lot about the rivalry between the Blackhawks and the Blues. So, you know, he loves that part of it. They get offense from their defensemen. And you're right about Jake. I mean, this is an incredibly huge year for Jake Allen, and being consistent all season. A little bit rough, but I think he played really well in the last game. And as a team, I just can tell you that they feel like they're going to be a top team in the National Hockey League, and that's their expectations. And we'll see how that goes. But they've got way more depth now than they certainly did last year, and even the year before that.
All right, and everybody remember, Pang. It's easier to spell than Tarasenko. That's the way I'm going with it. Darren, thanks for your time. Always good to catch up with you. Thanks.
Always my pleasure, fellas. Take care.
All right.
Thanks,
that's Darren Pang, Fox Sports Midwest, Blues and Hawks. Take a break. When we come back, we have the captain on the other side. Rosenblum and Spiegel, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bottom of the hour was brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Another year stuck paying your timeshare's annual maintenance fees. If your timeshare is no longer working for you and you need out, call Timeshare Exit Team. 844-915-EXIT, 844-915-EXIT, or visit TimeshareExitTeam.com. And the Wolves are playing tonight. They opened that 25th anniversary season tonight at Allstate Arena. Rolled back concession prices, Stever. Free parking presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Kia dealers. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for tickets.
Don Levin, Wolves owner, just terrific. They get it's Wolves Day in Illinois. It was declared as such or this weekend, and good for them. He's been a terrific owner. They've been put out a terrific product, and they're certainly worth supporting, and they are wonderful, whether it's families,
yep,
whether it's groups.
I've had great times there.
Yes.
Lindsay Wilhite does a terrific job doing what he does, and I was lucky enough to drop the puck. Me and Ruben dropped the puck one night. It was awesome.
Look at that.
I know.
Drop the puck.
Got a picture of both of us in Wolves jerseys
and
dropping
now
the puck.
Now he thinks he gets to do that every time he goes to a game.
The most spoiled little sports kid in the history of the world. Can't be bothered to watch a baseball game with me.
All right, we have people to thank. We're going to walk you up to McNeil and Parkins' interview with the captain, Jonathan Toews. You heard him earlier. You'll hear it in full. It was a really good interview by a guy who doesn't always interview really well.
Yeah,
Jonathan,
he was good.
Jonathan Toews is not the interview he is as a hockey player, but this was well done. Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic joined us. Talk some Cubs. J.J. Stankovitz, NBC Sports Chicago. David Schuster talking movies and Bulls. Christopher Hine talking about Jimmy Drama up in Minnesota. Darren Pang, you just heard him. I love Panger talking Blues and Hawks. And we are going to take you up with the Toews interview to Purdue at Illinois football after the Illini till 10 p.m. Julie DeCaro and Maggie Hendricks. I want to thank Zach Withers and Eli Hershkovitz for producing this epic. Steve Rosenblum, Matt Spiegel. Saturday suckage, we suck so you don't have to, on Chicago 670, The Score.
Captain, my captain, how are you, John?
I'm good. Danny, how are you?
Everything is good in our world. Looking forward to having a few minutes of your time this afternoon. Tough one to stomach last night. You get a point, but because you can't finish a couple of periods, that's a tough one to take, is it not?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think even considering how we lost, our goaltender, Cam Ward, played great, so we're lucky to be in that situation, but I think we're playing some good hockey. Just need to be a little bit tighter in our own zone.
You're playing some wildly exciting hockey. Do you think you guys are ever going to have a regulation game again?
Not looking like it right now, but hopefully, yeah, we can close out the last 20 seconds of a game like that, and we'll be all right.
Everybody's jaw has dropped at your play, number 19. It's like you've discovered the fountain of youth. Does it delight you to hear all those accolades, or you wonder if, wow, was I really that bad a year ago?
Well, there's no doubt it's been tough. The last couple of years, we just seem to be fighting the puck and trying to find confidence, trying to find just getting in the flow of things and not thinking too much. And I just think in a lot of ways I've come into this year more prepared than ever, and now I can just go out there and just kind of set my game free and turn my mind off and go play and have fun. And I just think it's nice to see the puck going in, and I'm clicking with my line mates right off the hop. So it's only four games, but it's been fun and feeling like it's going to continue.
It looks different. Does it feel different to you?
Yeah, man, I feel good on the ace. I just feel like my timing is good. You know, the legs feel good. Got some jump, a little bit more speed. And like I said, did a lot of off-ice preparation with our trainer, Paulie Goodman, this summer. And, you know, feeling good on the ice. So, you know, when you feel good like that and you're confident, good things happen.
Jonathan, there's been a ton of conversation, and I know you hear it and you read it, about whether your team's window of opportunity is open or it is closed. How do you feel about it?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of people want to pit our team against former Cup teams. They want to talk about, you know, the amount of games that guys like Duncan and Siebes and Kane and myself have played. And at the end of the day, I think there's just so many teams across the league that honestly think when they make the playoffs this year that they have the team to make a run at a Stanley Cup. And so to me, I think we're putting the past behind us and taking this one game at a time. We know it's going to be a challenge, but we keep getting better and better. There's no reason why we can't do anything special. We can't grow and improve and build on that confidence as the season goes along. And get to the playoffs, man, you never know. You never know what can happen.
We're talking to Jonathan Toews here on The Score. Does it feel at all different to you to have doubt around you? Because you guys have been the favorites, and you've been the hunted, and now in some ways you're hunting the rest of the league.
I mean, that's fine with me. I think it's such a tough league to try and stay on top for an entire season. And everyone wants to look at the big picture, and maybe it doesn't look so good to some people. But like I said, you know, even the years that we did win the Stanley Cup, we didn't go into it with that mindset. We took it one day at a time. And if you try and think that way and you look at the 82-game season or a two-month cup run, it seems like a little bit more than you can handle. So you take it one day at a time, and you keep getting better. So I think that's what we're trying to do once again.
Jonathan, how is Corey Crawford, and what have your conversations with him been like, as much as you're willing to tell our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy, happier than anybody just to see him do well as a person. I think he's just in a good place. He's all smiles every day. He seems to be making progress. He's working hard in the gym and on the ice, and he's taking care of his body and giving himself a chance to heal and to get back and playing. I just think mentally and emotionally he's in a good place. So I think that's number one, especially when you have an injury like he had last year. And you know, I really am confident he's going to be ready to play pretty soon, and he's taking great strides. So it's been a lot of fun to be around him and have him back in the room. So you know, I'm excited to see when he can make it back.
You also have had a history of concussions, and it's something that your game, unfortunately, is not taking a very serious look at. I have to think that you've had conversations and that Crow has had talks with medical people, with family members. Are you feeling comfortable that you guys will know when the symptoms of having many concussions are so pronounced that it's in your best interest to tuck it away?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. So many athletes, so many people have had to kind of deal with some really, really tough experiences and a lot of suffering for there to even be a conversation about how serious it is. You know, it sounds like a lot of people being overly dramatic, and it really isn't. It's a serious thing to have a brain injury, and there's so many different types and symptoms. And just at the end of the day, I do think that the science and the research and the ways you can treat it are getting better and better. There's a lot of things out there that you can do to kind of recover if you're a young hockey player or some kind of athlete that's had a head injury. But I think in the NHL, the tough thing is that there's not a whole lot of communication between these experts and different areas. I just think people have to be more on the same page as far as trying to improve things and how concussions are being treated. So I think that's part of the responsibility in the league right there.
Jonathan Toews with us on The Score. If we can go back to you and your off season, you know, I read a piece from Scott Powers recently about some of the things that you were doing on the ice, you know, in terms of working on your speed and balance. Can you just tell our audience what your off-season training program looked like to get you back to playing this way this season?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was harder than it ever has been in the gym for the early summer months after the season. So in that sense, I felt more prepared and just got my body to a place where I can perform and do things, just my conditioning, my strength, my power, and do things on another level on the ice where getting back to the ice, you know, a lot of the young players nowadays are all coming in with tons of skill, and they've been working on the edges and skating and the puck handling and just feeling comfortable doing really awkward coordinated movements. So I've been working on that quite a bit, and so it's good. It's good to get back to basics and work on all that skill work.
And everyone knows you're big into nutrition, but there is some debate. Like, and there's always, you know, we said we were having you on, and people are like, "Oh, ask him if he's eating meat, or ask him if he's a vegan, or is he on the paleo diet? Like, what does Jonathan Toews do to stay healthy?" So what's your current stance and approach to nutrition right now?
Well, I'll say first and foremost, I think it's a huge part of it. I mean, I've learned a lot from guys like Duncan Keith and Johnny Oduya, guys that are constantly like trying to get better and improve their recovery, and I just think, you know, it was a huge part of our success in the playoffs is just be able to sleep well and recover when you have triple overtime games and you're flying across the country and whatever. It makes a difference in the long run, and at the end of the day, I'm not a vegan, so for the people who keep asking me that out there, okay. I mean, to each their own. I think everyone can find something that works for them, but there's no doubt, like, finding, you know, eating good food that get rid of inflammation and help your body heal, I think is super important. So there's a million diets out there, but you can find a little bit of everything that maybe works for you.
Canadian Thanksgiving, I believe, was just the other day. Was it not? I don't know if that's walleye with sweet potatoes instead of the pan-fried onions and pomme de terre, as they say, because everything's written in French where I go, up near Cottage in Northwest Ontario. But do you allow yourself some treats?
Yeah, a little turkey. It's pretty much the same thing. But yeah, the Canadians like to, I don't care. It doesn't matter if you're still in the States or what, you guys like to get together and celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving. So I appreciate that.
So what's a cheat meal look like for you? Or do you like, when's the last time you had a slice of pizza? Like how serious are we talking about here?
Well, pretty serious, but I guess here and there some little things that allow myself to have. I think it's always good mentally, and your body, your mind appreciates it. So, I do enjoy pizza and stuff like that.
Oh, good. Earlier, he's human. Earlier this week, I was Googling pictures, Jonathan Toews fishing. And I found an Instagram post where you're photographed with a muskie, which is my favorite fish to target. But you said it was Dave, your charter boat captain, and you won. I don't know how old that post was, but have you boated your first muskie, Captain?
I mean, I caught one years ago, but it was just kind of a lucky catch, and I think it was during their spawning season, so it wasn't the real deal. But it's my brother David in the picture, and he guides as a summer job. He played pro hockey for a little while, but now he's working as a guide in the summer, and he knows all the spots on the lake. He's a fisherman, so I just tag along with him, and he's usually the one who has the knack and is able to find the big fish. So.
What's your favorite fish to target? Are you a walleye guy or what? Sturgeon? What do you fish for?
Yeah, I love walleye. I like getting out with my brother and my dad, and we just get a little catch before dinner every day. So it's a nice way to get out and get your mind off things and just get out in the quiet on the lake.
Jonathan Toews with us for another couple of minutes on The Score. You know, the nickname.
Oh, I was just going to say, hopefully fishing is well after ice out next year, like at the end of June instead of like at the beginning of May. That would be great.
Yeah, exactly. That's the goal, right?
That's the plan. I don't plan on getting that good at fishing or golf for a long time yet. So,
well, I was good. Yeah, focus on hockey. I was going to say, like, you know, you're a pretty studious guy. You know, everyone knows now about the nutrition thing. You've been pretty open about how much you care and have learned about the environment. What are you interested in these days? I mean, Hawks fans want to get to know you. What's interesting of Jonathan Toews these days?
Well, I mean, a big part of why I got on social media to begin with is to kind of promote my foundation. Obviously, I got to get up to scratch with that, but we're starting to work with a group call the Green Bronx Machine. We've already put a bunch of they call them learning or tower gardens in schools across Chicago, where kids can learn everything about the environment and healthy eating, and they can grow vegetables in their own classroom. So they've taken pretty quickly to that, and it's been pretty cool to see the success of that so far. So that's kind of one of the things I've been passionate about, and kind of a good way to give back in the community here.
That's very cool. I wonder in what other ways, if any, Jonathan, being a veteran and becoming now an older player, and as Eddie O likes to say, an elder statesman, what else has changed for you as you look at your sport and where you fit into it and where you are in terms of being a part of this community?
I mean, lots. Time's flown by. You know, like Duncan Keith is playing his 1,000th game on Saturday, and the guys that have been around for a while, we just look at each other and we're kind of amazed how much our team has changed, how much the guys and, you know, the girls on our team, the girlfriends and wives, and just the whole group. There's a lot of young faces, and we've all changed quite a bit too. So it's kind of nice to see the evolution and you know, just to enjoy the different stages of your career.
Are you enjoying it more than you used to?
I mean, yeah, I think that's a big part of trying to be successful on the ice, is just getting back to enjoying it and forgetting about the pressure. And I think you're going to be the best you can be when you got that young, youthful mindset where you're going out there just to play and have fun and compete. And, you know, your skill takes over in that case. So I'd say we've had a good start as a team, and, you know, we got a lot of improvement, a lot of potential ahead of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you said earlier that, you know, you feel like this good start, it's gonna continue. What gives you the confidence that these four games, that's going to be what we're going to see over the next 78 and then into the playoffs?
Well, we've seen some young guys like Henry Yokiharu and Dominic Cahoon get on the score sheet, but I think there's a lot of young guys too on our team that are just kind of waiting in the weeds, and they're gonna still show they got a lot of ways they can contribute for us.
Well, Jonathan, thanks a lot for the time, man. Don't be a stranger to the show. It's exciting hockey you're playing, and it's fun to see you back to looking like the captain of old.
Absolutely. Good catching up, number 19. Have a great weekend, man.
Thanks, Danny. Dan, thanks a lot, guys. Good talking to you.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.